Hi, this is Bob. Today I have an interview with Atomic Kinks. The band is promoting their original release, an album that pays not only homage to those of 70s roots, but gives us a feel that only this band can. And here is my interview with Atomic Kinks. Hello, my friend.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Ryan. I wanted to thank you for taking time to speak with me today.
It's a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
I wanted to ask about the creative process for the debut album. How long did it take to put the material together?
Well, by the time we got to Atomic Kinks, it was it wasn't that long, to be honest. I mean, we were really knocking them out. We had some leftover things from a project that we had before, so it was a combination of like revamping some old material and then writing new material with a focus on having a new singer and then seeing what he can do, put him through his paces and like see what he can offer, and then that sort of speared the songwriting forward it just happened fairly quickly. It was just the recording process that probably took equally as long.
And I wanted to ask about the track I Got Mine. It's one of my favorite tracks on the album.
Nice.
I wanted to know if you could talk to me about the creative process for that one.
Greg Chason, our bass player, brought that in. And for a long time, the demo was called Greg's Funk Song in D. And so he wanted something kind of funky. And we were just kind of jamming. We jammed on that all the time. And then it obviously has that big outro that's like just a madness, you know, at the end. And and what Ken put to it was so brilliant. And that's a real testament to like all four of us sort of working together in a room and creating something. So it feels spontaneous. And to be honest, it was spontaneous when we did it, and you know, we kind of honed it down by the time we took it into the studio, but like a lot of that stuff on the record is actually cut live with at least between me, the guitar player, and Ken the singer, or it's me, the guitar player, and then Jimmy the drummer, and Greg on bass. So like the rhythm tracks, that's live, you know, that's actually cut live, one take in the studio.
And another one I really love is All I Want. It just has that great 70s feel, and it's just a great track to just throw in and have a good time to.
Well, it has a 70s feel because Greg wrote that in 1979.
Wow.
He had that riff, and he had kind of another part or whatever. I'm not sure exactly what on the finished product it was from 79, but he says he had that, and then he presented that to Badlands and Ray Gillen and Jake in the 80s and said, what do you think about this? And they were like, well, I don't think so. So they turned it down, but he always remembered it. And so when we got Ken and started the Atomic Kinks record, he sort of remembered this riff and goes, I want to do this song. I want to do this. And we were all like, hell yeah, man. It has such a 70s feel. He goes, yeah, because I wrote it in 1979.
And how did the video go for live?
The video for live? Yeah, we played at a club here in Phoenix. And it was basically our album release party. And we had a lot of friends and family and fans and whatever there, and we had just a great time. It was a great gig, and yeah, it was super fun. That's all I remember. It was just a great night.
And there's one thing I wanted to ask you about the video. Is the number 44 have a message?
No, that's the name of the club. It's called the 44. It's in Phoenix, Arizona. That's the name of the club. Yeah. So we didn't have a backdrop. I'm not sure. I don't recall why, but we have one. I don't know why we didn't put it up, but maybe I don't know. Who knows?
Okay. I thought maybe like 44 was some kind of, had some kind of means of band. And seeing it in the video, I was like, man, I got to ask about this.
That's very interesting. I hadn't thought about that. But I guess on, if you're not, you know, a local here in the local bars and you don't know about the club, I guess it does look like, why are they, what are they saying with this 44 message? It's funny.
And what's the future hold for the band?
Yeah, right now we're promoting the new record or the record that came out a few months ago, because we got a new record label, Fire Rock, who is now, we finally got international distribution. What happened last year was that the record company that we signed to that originally released the record folded. It went out of business. Wow. We were the biggest act on their roster, and they just weren't prepared to fulfill what they had told us, what they promised us. And they finally kind of just said, listen, we're packing it up, and we're sort of left in limbo here. And we're thankful that Fire Rock Fire Rock Music Group picked us up and said, oh, we'll distribute the record, and we want your second album. So right now we're talking about what we're going to do for the next album. But right now it's all about sort of like really giving the first album, which we really truly believe in and we love it, it's due, you know. It just, it kind of withered on the vine, and because people didn't have access to it, you know, and it really bums us all four of us out, you know. And so now we were like, well, now we've got the channels of distribution and everything. Let's talk about that record, because so many people haven't been exposed to it yet. So we want to give that another shot.
And I wanted to ask you, how did the band become a reality today?
The band formed back. It's basically, there was another project before that Greg Chason and I were involved in. And it kind of goes back to when I met Greg and stuff. And he actually, we met, the first time I met Greg was probably about 20 years ago. He doesn't remember it, but I had a friend that goes, hey, I know the bass player for that band, Badlands. You want to go say hi? I'm like, sure. Yeah. I love that band. I love that Badlands record. And the second record, actually, Voodoo Highway, is my favorite.
Sure.
And, so my friend Scotty takes me over there and I meet Greg and we hang out for the afternoon. And, that was like in 2000 or something. And me and Scotty had a band and we played, locally here. Greg lives in Arizona, of course, after moving back here from LA. In the 90s, but Greg has now been living in Arizona since about that time. So he would go out to the rock clubs and stuff that we would play, and he saw me play. And I know this because many years later, about 10 years ago now, so now we're at like 2014, he was commiserating with a mutual friend of ours. This is unbeknownst to me, but Greg was saying, like, you know, I can't find the right guitar player. I've gone through like three guitar players for this project that I want to do. And I think I'm running out of guitar players here in Arizona. And he said to a mutual friend of ours, he goes, the only guy that I think would fit is this blonde haired guy that plays a Strat. He used to play with Scotty and them guys at such and such a club. And I don't even know whatever happened to him. If he's even in Arizona anymore, or he probably moved or he died or or whatever, you know. And this person he was telling this to was a friend of mine and a close friend of mine. And he tells Greg, he goes, are you talking about Ryan McKay? He goes, I don't know the guy's name, but that sounds kind of familiar. It's like, Ryan, yeah, he played with Scott and them at this club and that club. Oh, do you know him? Is he still in town? Yeah, he's like one of my best friends.
So no, wow.
I got a call from this friend, and he said, hey, look, Greg Chason's looking for you. And I go, uh-oh. I didn't talk shit about him or nothing, did I? I wouldn't have done that. You don't want Greg Chason to be looking for you, you know? So No, he said, no, he wants to, he remembers you from back in the day, and he wants to meet up with you and see if you want to participate in a project of, that he's putting together. And so I went down to the studio, reconnected with Greg. I said, I met you. Actually, I actually met him many years before that, when he was in Badlands, when I was a kid.
Wow.
I was a roadie for a day in Hannibal, Missouri, and it was Great White Tesla and Badlands. And me and my buddies, we knew a local promoter who put the show on. So we got backstage and we had to hump gear, like the road cases and whatnot. And so I had met Ray, Eric, Jake, and Greg there that day when I was just in, like, I was probably 15. I wasn't driving yet, so I was probably 14 or 15, which Greg finds hilarious now, of course. But then I met him with Scotty, you know, in 2000. And then here we are talking in 2014 and really just talking about music and putting this concept together, this band, this idea of what Greg wanted to do, which was a throwback to kind of like 70s hard rock. And I was really excited to participate in it. And here we are. I mean, it took a lot. There's been a lot of personnel changes in that decade. Of course, Greg had gotten stage 4 cancer, which he beat, and is 8 years cancer free at this point. But that was kind of touch and go for a while. So that put everything on hold for a long time. And we reconnected around about 2000 and got to work.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know if Jake would say so, but I think his departure from Ozzy was a blessing in disguise.
Mm, I would agree. Yeah, I would agree. I know that the thing about Badlands is that they had Ray, who is probably the best singer of his generation. You know, he was just, you know. I really love Voodoo Highway. That's my favorite. And Greg agrees with me.
And I wanted to ask you about your musical development. At what age did you begin?
I was 12, I think, when I got my first guitar. And I was really terrible for a long time. And the thing about me is that you grow up in this era where guitar was really complicated, right? Like there was all these guys. I mean, Jake would be one, or Vito Bratta, or Joe Satriani, Steve Vai. I mean, the list goes on and on from that era. So I'm a kid back then, right? Like I'm just starting to play guitar, and you know, I thought that was completely out of the realm of possibility to ever play like those guys. So, but I always loved 70s music anyways. And I started listening to guys like Robin Trower, Jimmy Page, or Eric Clapton, those guys. And I'm like, that's a more attainable goal for me, you know? And also one of the things I've learned just about myself in a couple, just what was so odd to me when I moved to a larger market, because I'm a small town kid, a scrawny, goofy looking small town kid who moved to Arizona. And me and my buddies growing up in that small town, we all wrote songs, like me and my buddy Jay and my buddy Steve. Like we wrote songs together. Like we always did that. That was just, we figured that's what you do.
Right.
And when I got here, I realized that not everyone writes songs. Matter of fact, it's very rare. And so I come with a bunch of songs and I'm kind of a songwriter. I'm not a shredder guitar player because I never wanted to be that. It was so intimidating that I shied away from the practice. And I appreciate that. They practice and get that down, but I'm like, I'm a songwriter. That's what really gets me going. I get excited to write songs and write cool guitar parts, you know? And I love guitar solos. Actually, I'm not shying away from guitar solos. I love a great guitar solo. I love Michael Schenker, Uli John Roth. Those are my guys, you know?
Right.
And I aspire to be them, you know? And so that was just an interesting development where I just thought it was rare. I didn't know it was rare. I thought everybody wrote songs, but it's very, and I think that's what Greg saw in me, you know, when he, when we reconnected. He goes, "This guy writes songs. You know, I'm not Jake, but we play off each other." And he tells me, like, "You know, I've never had that relationship with a guitar player since Jake, because you actually listen to me and we play off each other. We're weaving in and out of each other all the time." You know, and that's something that not a lot of people possess.
Yeah, and to any guitar player, you know, like I watched a video with Vi, and he's got this Hydra now. Like, this guy's, and I'm like, this dude's muscle memory has to be from another planet.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to play four instruments at the same time is just insane to me.
It's insane, yeah, what he does. And I have a great appreciation for it. I look at it like you do and go, what in the world? But, you know, there's guys like Robert Fripp, Adrian Blue, all those guys that came before Vi that were kind of doing that stuff. So it's not anything that's super new, although that Hydra thing is definitely new from technology standpoint. But yeah, those guys are just awesome. You know, that is just something that my brain doesn't work that way. My brain works like a songwriter / producer. Like, I'm thinking of all the parts, I hear all the different parts, and that's kind of how I see it. You know,
I did a interview with one of the guys that did the Songbirds documentary. Songbirds was a place in Tennessee that displayed guitars from the earliest electric guitar to the present. And they had a prototype that Jimi Hendrix had asked for to be made, and he never received it because he had passed.
Mm.
And thing weighed like 17 pounds. And and I wonder what the Hydra actually weighs.
Oh my God.
It's got to be ridiculous.
Yeah, that's insane. I remember Greg had a deal with BC Rich in the 80s, and they made him a double neck bass that weighed about 20 pounds.
Jeez.
And it's
a backbreaker.
You can't play it. I think it's too heavy, you know.
Along your musical journey, what do you feel has been the best advice that's been given to you along the way?
Well, it's kind of goofy advice, but I think a lot of musicians need to hear it. You know, I heard it when I was young. I was young-ish, 20, maybe. I was working with this guy. He was a pro musician, just local. This is back when town. But this guy, I mean, he played. He got the band out, got him on the road, play regionally, you know. And he said to me one time, he goes, "Ryan, you can go pretty far in this business. But you got to remember, show up, be on time, be relatively sober, play your instrument good. Not, you don't have to be great, just be good. And you be a good hang, you know." And that's just great. That's just great advice. I mean, that's how a lot of people get the job. You know, if you want a career in music, follow that advice. I mean, show up on time, play good. Like I said, you don't have to be Steve Vai. You don't have to show up with the Hydra and wow everybody. You just need to show up with your guitar, know your parts, be rehearsed, be relatively sober, and be a good hang. You know, don't make waves. Don't be an asshole. You know,
leave your ego at the door, because
right.
You know, at the day it's an end product.
I've never forgotten that great advice from Jim Jennings back then. You know, it's so true. And I mean, if you had two guys, right, and one guy is a phenomenal musician, but he's a complete asshole, and the other guy is a good musician, not great, but good, but he's a great hang, you know, on the bus, at the truck stops, in the hotels, who are you going to hire? You're going to hire the easy guy, the one you can get along with every time.
And you've had a great career. I want to ask you, what is the best memory you have of your career?
Oh, man. That's a great question. There's a few things that stand out. I think, well, in the 2000s, I had a band that I fronted. I was the lead singer. I was the main songwriter. It was a great band called Crash Street Kids. You can look us up on Spotify and stuff. Crash Street Kids. And that band did some cool stuff. One of the things that we did is we headlined at the Whiskey in Hollywood, and that was really awesome. That's a great memory. And, you know, I think about as a kid growing up, as I said, you know, in a small town in the Midwest, it's like to have grown up and to be, you know, headlining at the Whiskey or whatever is a real thrill. And then later I played at in a different band. We played in New York City in Manhattan, and we would play there every year. It's like, gosh dang, you know, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere kind of stuff, you know. There's so many memories that are so it's such a interesting journey that you go on. I mean, I played in London, over in Europe and stuff, and that was awesome. I played in I was on a cruise ship. I did this weird gig on a cruise ship. And one of the wildest things is, like, you know, when you're on a cruise ship, they'll dock the ship on these remote islands. And so the band leader that I was working for goes, I got us a couple tickets to go out on a small boat and go swim with sharks. Who's in? And I go, I'm in. And I'm deathly afraid of sharks. Jaws is my all-time favorite movie. And I was so scared. I was so scared of sharks that I thought Jaws was going to come out of my bedroom closet and eat me. And I'm like, I want to go swim with sharks. And so that's what I did. We had these basically they chummed the water. We're staying in water that's about neck high. And here comes all these sharks. I mean, you see the fins, and they're not interested in us. They're interested in the chum. You know, they just ignore us. But you go in there with your snorkel and you can see them all. You can almost, I mean, it was terrifying. but after you've been in the water for like 5 or 10 minutes, you start getting used to seeing these sharks because they don't care about you, you know? So then I'm kind of like reaching out, almost touching them. I'm like, what am I doing? This is insane. I could be eaten by sharks. What would you tell my wife? What happened to Ryan? He got eaten by sharks in French Polynesia.
When you're not working on music, do you have any hobbies that you enjoy to unwind?
No, I actually don't. I like going to the gym. I do run. At the most, I've ran like basically a half marathon, I think, at my longest of all time, but that was years ago. I'm too old now, but I enjoy exercising. I think everybody should get out and just get that blood pumping. It's the best part of your day. Beyond that, I like just sitting around watching TV, especially old television. My daughter's 19, and we found on YouTube that old show Friday Night Videos that ran on NBC in the early 1980s. We found on YouTube there's that show in its entirety with the commercials that aired back in the day. And we sat and watched that, and she's like, I love old commercials. And it's like the political incorrectness of it all and stuff. She laughs, and we both laugh, and then a video will come on. It's Lionel Richie and whatever, hello, you know, and like, oh God, Zoe, watch this video. It's terrible. And we just make fun of it. We just, both me and my daughter, like to yell at the TV.
I like to pull up an old Midnight Special concert.
Absolutely.
You know, back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Been there. Check out those old Friday night videos. I think they were recently posted and with commercials and everything. It's great. You can get the new Dodge Scirocco for $4,995.
What's the best way to get a physical copy of the album and any merchandise that the band has?
Well, finally, the album is available online. Amazon has it. That's probably the easiest because a lot of people buy stuff on Amazon. Walmart has it online. Your local record store can look it up. And So this is all part of Fire Rock Music Group. Thank God for them for basically pulling that our record that we believe in so much out of the doldrums and getting it into some place where people can actually access it. And that's pretty much it right now. We're looking towards doing vinyl as well. We're going to be pressing vinyl of the record at some point. So if you're like me and collect a lot of vinyl records, then Atomic Kings definitely needs to be on your turntable. So look for that. Absolutely. Just follow us on Instagram or Facebook, Atomic Kings Band. Just look us up and stay up to date.
And as far as the feel of the new material, does it feel in the same vein as the first one?
Definitely. As a matter of fact, it's just like last time. We were in writing mode before the re-release here. We actually have half of a record completed at this point. It's just a matter of finishing it all off and seeing what happens.
And lastly, I wanted to ask you, if you could give any message to your fans, what would that message be?
Well, first of all, I'd be like, thank you for the support. You know, it's a different era that we're in nowadays. So anytime you like or comment or share stuff on social media, it's greatly appreciated because it helps get the word out. So just a big thank you. And we hope to see you at some point when we're on the road.
I wanted to thank you, my friend, for creating an album that I enjoyed from top to bottom. It's hard for me to pick two tracks to choose to talk about.
Well, that's a great compliment, man. I love that you chose I Got Mine and All I Want. Those are good choices. I mean, I love the whole record, too. You know, it's cool. It's a really fun record. It flies by. There's so many different parts. There's so many moving things that are happening. Ken's voice is amazing. Jimmy's drums are incredible. And of course, the legendary Greg Chason from Badlands is playing bass on it. And him and I created the music together. And it's just fantastic. We're really proud of it.
And you should be. And I think that there's something to be said, you know, and doing this podcast, I review all genres of metal, you know, I interviewed a Total AI band a few weeks ago.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it's been such an incredible journey to, like, I interviewed a Russian death metal rap band.
Nice.
And so there's all these different genres, and I think at the end of the day, the basis of it all is that Zeppelin feel that the early days, you know, going back to Arjun, going back to those, that feel, mm-hmm. I think really were the basis of everything that happens today, whether people realize it or not. I don't think anyone's reinventing the wheel. I just think we're changing the wheel in different areas. But at the end of the day, it all started there. You know what I mean?
It's the blueprint. Yeah. Sure. There's a blueprint. And then you could scratch this part of the blueprint off and go, I'm going to build something different here in this part. I'm going to keep this part of the blueprint, but I'm going to scratch that off and put something else in there that no one's ever seen before.
And I think you guys, this band has created a great homage to it, but also keeps its originality as well. And that's very important.
Yeah. Well, that's a great compliment. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to thank you, my friend, and have a great rest of your day.
You too, man. Thanks again for having me on. Find us all over the place, Atomic Kings, YouTube. You can watch a lot of cool live footage of us playing. And, Atomic Kings Band on social media. Hit us up. You can find me, Ryan McKay Music, on social media as well. Say hi to me, and we'll talk.
And definitely let me know when you hit Ohio, because I want to check you guys out.
Oh, cool. Are you in Cleveland, or where are you at?
I'm in Massillon, Ohio. I'm kind of in between Canton and Cleveland.
Okay. Love Cleveland. Cleveland a bunch of times. Great town. Great state. I love that place, man.
Yeah. One of the things I boast proudly about is the rock roots stay strong even today.
Good.
And I always boast that, like bands like Rush, a lot of their fans don't realize that WMMS, one of the biggest radio stations in Cleveland, actually paid for their demos.
Oh, yeah. If you read Geddy Lee's book, yeah, it's very in-depth. It's very in-depth about all that history.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be a part of that when they were playing local clubs up here in Cleveland.
Wow, cool. Did you see them? Did you see them play back in the day?
I did not see the Breakfast Hour on MMS, but mm-hmm. I have seen them. I think it's been 4 or 5 times.
Nice. There's lots of great history in Cleveland. It's a great rock and roll city, and obviously the surrounding areas will attest to that as well. Cool bands like Left End and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Regional, great records, man. Fantastic.
Well, thank you again, my friend. And I hope we can talk again soon about the new album.
Absolutely, man. You'll be the first to know about it.
Thank you very much, and you have a great day.
You too, man. Great talking to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'd like to thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can sponsor the podcast. Just click that button and you can be a member of the family. And remember, come see me for a fix.